Hey, this all centers around the Book of Acts. This is the training course. This is Russ Dizdar. ShadowTheDarkness.net on the web. I'm glad you're in the training. We have already shared the e-story, audio 17 A and B. This is audio 18. This is on page 33, Acts chapter 1. So all this leads into that chapter. And I'm glad you're there. And if you're looking on your own workbook, page 33, well, how are you doing today? Yes, it is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice. And the opportunities, the prayers that can be prayed that affect the rest of the day, the intervention, even the miracles, don't forget Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond what we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory. Hallelujah, that's true. So today is, we can acknowledge this, that miracles, answers to prayer, Acts 4, God stretch forth your hand to save and heal and deliver, bring revival, save family members, intervention, you know, all kinds of things we can pray today to the glory of Jesus. It all centers around him. There's no one like him. Brilliant, powerful God in human flesh, Son of Man, Son of God. So let's never, never back away from sharing who he is and who he is, what he's done, the gospel, the cross, but the same yesterday, today, and forever. So anyway, on the notes, page 33. This will be a short one, audio anyway. I'm going to encourage you again to think back at the gospel of Luke. Because when we go into chapter 1 of Acts, which we're preparing to do, and we'll tell you as you look at the audio for the first part of Acts chapter 1, read it through a couple times. Again, we're going to take our time. That's the best way to do it. Let the Word of God sink. Let it burn into us. The more you know it, the more you let it sink, the more you and memorize. We'll talk about memorizing in the simple way. You go over a verse again and again, and you do it word perfect, and you do it until it's fluent, and you really do it when you know that scripture verse, and when you get that in your life, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's when it's going to come up for you in the midst of prayer, for you in the midst of struggles, for you in the midst of counseling others. That scripture will be the counselor for you as a spirit of God brings it up to you at times, and then uses it in evangelism and in other circumstances too. So that's why I think it's important. That's why we're going to go over it. We're going to mix learning the word straight through the book of Acts with other scriptures and, you know, the rest of the Bible, scripture, interpreting scripture, and connecting with the other scripture and learning. This is all about growing deep and broad and wide, but it involves, by this time already, how's answers to prayer going? By this time, are you becoming powerful in your relationship with Jesus? He's there every day, always. Come boldly before the throne of grace. And you're going to just come, and the promise of God, as he calls us to come boldly before that throne of grace, to receive mercy and grace, to help us in our time of need even. So today is a day the Lord has made. Today, the rest of this day as I'm speaking to you is not yet out there. Prophetically, in a sense, God knows every single thing that will and will not and ultimately occur. He knows actuality. But I'm here. The rest of the day hasn't occurred. What if I pray for the next 15 minutes about all the events of the day, all the people, all the different things, and pray into the day, and pray for the advance of the kingdom, and pray for the church, and pray all those things we talk about in the prayer manual, and, all those things that God wants us to be praying and be those prayer warriors. So, once again, it all stems, though, from your relationship to Jesus. The deeper, the broader, the joy of the Lord being your strength, knowing him and being amazed. I think to this day he amazes me. Jesus does, that is. And seeing again how he works, how consistent, how faithful he is. And so today we renounce Satan and all the lies. We renounce all the confusion that he brings. God's not the author of confusion. And that's important as we do that sometimes. in Jesus' name, to clear the air as we worship him and ascribe greatness and power and might. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth that royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Along with that, we bless the Lord, O our souls, and all that is within us. Not, you know, Psalm 103? Don't forget all those benefits. Page 33, Book of Acts, training course. And you know what's neat about this? Wherever you are in all the planet, Spirit of God is there as he is here. We're in a great biblical training university together. And on this one singular page, 33, here's questions. When you think in terms of the Book of Acts, here's questions as you look. What are the first things the Spirit of God impresses on you? Now, when you read through that first chapter, what are some of the things? One for me was that he presents himself alive. He presents himself alive. He does that. It's not a matter of the early disciples, you know, when he's crucified and buried, he's in the big stone is rolled over. Then there's the resurrection, of course, Thomas being the doubter, and all that occurs with that, and they're beginning to see him and walk with him. But for 40 days, he presents himself alive. You'll hear me say later in Corinthians about the 500 that saw him. So is the resurrected Christ. Now, one of the things you want to do, and it takes me immediately to Romans chapter 1 and the backdrop there. And that's why I'm saying when even these questions come and you begin to read them, I think one of the great chapters or declarations, here's what it says in the beginning of the book of Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now, that's powerful. Blasting apart the finality of death, one author said, by his resurrection. So I guess for me, one of the first things is he presents himself alive. He's alive from the dead. And as they're beginning to see this, and as they're beginning to hear, as the joy is beginning to light up those believers, and, you know, they're all with him all this time, and then all of a sudden he's gone. And obviously they know he's taken, beaten, crucified, dead, buried, sealed over with guards. And God just blasts all of that to pieces. Psalm 16 prophesied the resurrection 1,000 years in advance, the resurrection of Christ. So as I'm thinking, that's the one thing all of it does. Every single verse we're going to see, that's why I'm going to take time. I'm not going to hurry through this. I'm going to take time. And it may be we'll do a chapter a week. It may be that we do a fourth of a chapter per week. I want to go over word by word by word of the living, active, powerful Word of God. Now, to those apostles, he presented himself alive. You know what I could say over 40 years and so forth being a believer? Now, I'm going to tell you clearly, I've never seen Jesus in any kind of, you know, directly in that sense, like they did, the resurrected Christ, where they can touch him, Thomas, you know, could see him. But I can say that he has presented himself alive in me, with me, in the context of evangelism, Mark 16:20, active and working, in the midst of difficulties and troubles and all the things in life, he's alive. My Savior, your Savior, forever, without change, alive from the dead. So obviously this blasts apart everything, for sin is conquered. Death is conquered. Satan is conquered. The old order, conquered. Separation and shut off from God and the wrath of God is all going to be changed. When a person gets saved and that righteousness of Jesus is applied to them, and forgiveness and peace with God, that's what you and I have. So I can go on and on just on that one question. You know, I think if, that's what I'm saying. Take your time. Pray. And we can say, Lord, by the Spirit of God, open my eyes. And then you dig. And then you, as we read in Psalm 1, meditate on the Word of God. The idea of rotating that scripture around in your head. That's a good way to memorize. You rotate it and think it. And then you're going to notice as you do this and take time, you're going to find out the book of Acts is part of a whole, the whole book. And that, as I mentioned, Psalm 16, as we look here, as we're looking at the resurrected Christ in chapter 1, he didn't ascend yet. He didn't go back yet. In John's Gospel 17, he prays to the Father, return to me the glory I had with you before the creation of the world, where he came from, and then his entrance in. The Word became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. And the death and the burial and the resurrection all prophesied. Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. We're going to look at all this. So that's what I'm saying. Even when we put out a few questions like this, take your time. Think on the Lord. Think on the Word. Spirit of God is in you. The Spirit of God has lit up your heart, your mind. He knows. The Spirit of God knows every single scripture so totally, so completely. He knows how to connect everything for you and help you. And just write it down. Mark it down. What are the first things the Spirit of God is impressing on you? So I'm telling you what I put down, that phrase, he presented himself alive. Now, that's after his passion. Now, second question was this. How does he present himself alive? Well, obviously, the seeable, visible, resurrected Christ. Thomas could see the holes. He could, you know, they could touch him even. Not right away, obviously. And he hadn't ascended yet. And we're going to read in 1 John where they examined, they looked, and so forth. They wanted to hold on to him, per se, and yet he said not to. And you're talking now the resurrected body. He didn't ascend yet. We're going to see that in Acts 1, and that's incredible. But he presents himself alive, and he's doing this by visibly. He's doing this by his words that he's speaking distinctly by the power of the Spirit of God. Now, I believe this, especially with Thomas. When Thomas bowed down, doubting Thomas, he bowed down. See, here's my, you know, the whole, you know, here he is. When Thomas finally saw this one whose hands had been marked, he bows down and cries out, my Lord and my God, capital G. That's what he is to you and I today. Lord and God, capital G. Christ in you, God. Dwelling in you, knowing him. So he presents himself alive clearly to them. There's no getting around it. Now in your life, I'm going to say this, he's going to present himself alive again and again. First of all, Christ is in you. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. He doesn't pop in and pop out. He's permanently there inside of you, dwelling in you, living in you. And as you are filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God makes all that reality. This, Romans 8, his Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. That's a evidence of his being alive. Christ in you, the hope of glory, evidence of being alive. Jesus said, I am with you. Not only is he in you, he's with you. And not only is he in you permanently, with you permanently to the end of the age in ministry, Matthew 28, but when you're out there ministering and winning souls to Jesus and others to Christ, guess what? He's with you, operative around you. You got to understand how omnipresent he is, dwelling clearly. And see, I bind that scripture to me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Or Jesus says in John 17, in speaking to the Father, he says that I myself may be in them. So you can meditate on that. You can think of that scripture. That scripture is absolutely and utterly true. And so he presents himself in your life. And as you get involved in doing the great mission of Jesus, You're going to see him there, the Spirit of God guiding there, his saving, healing, delivering, and even miraculous. And so when we look at the first chapter, obviously there's the idea of the miraculous that occurs. Now, I also ask on page 33, what would be the infallible proof? Now, resurrected from the clear dead, buried in the grave, Jesus, and the idea, again, even seeing those holes that were there in his hand, he's raised from the dead and he's going to be ascending pretty soon, but he's with them. So when you look at the word, and I'm going to give you this distinct Greek word in chapter 1 as we go through it, what is an infallible proof? Now, I'm going to say over all these years, he gives infallible proofs of his presence, his power, his saving, his working, his faithfulness, utter faithfulness to the scriptures, by the way, inseparably, that he's coming again. All these are true. And that word right there means a proof that is unmistakable, that's provable, that's clear, and that's what he is in you. That's what you can be counting on, like in worship. And all that you do and all that you are, based on that in word of God, and you bind that word to your heart and your mind, you no matter what. And you know, there's going to be times you got to, you know, rebuke the enemy and say no and put your foot down and submit to God, resist the devil. The devil goes away. In the middle of everything, in the middle of, in the middle of the greatest storms, think of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And before his incarnation, he shows up there with Daniel in the fires. With Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the lion's den. So you're going to see his presence and power. Stephen is being martyred, and he sees Jesus at the right hand of majesty. So for 40 days, he's showing himself, speaking, and all that he's doing, and it's just irrevocable. It is just indisputable. It is just indestructible. The infallible proofs, and he is in you. And you're asking, and when you receive an answer, it's a demonstration of all that he is. Now, one other question on page 33 is simply this. Because of the promise of the Father, of course, we're going back 2,000 years, the prophecy of Joel, and what occurred in Pentecost. And here's what I'm going to say. What occurred there has been nonstop since. The pouring out of the Spirit of God, so that in receiving Jesus, baptized with the Spirit in the body of Christ, indwelt by the Spirit of God, the infilling, the filling, the clothing, we'll talk a lot about the Spirit of God. But is there times we can take and just wait for power from on high, as in revivals? And so I'm going to tell you this, sometimes when believers in churches, there's times we just need to wait on the Lord and be still and know that he is God. Be still and know that he is God. I think that is an incredible part of our walk. Just to stop, be still. Lord, I acknowledge you dwelling in me. I acknowledge the inseparable, the unbroken, the unceasing, the immediate, right here, right now. God. Father, bless all those listening right now. Bless them in their relationship and becoming very deep and strong, filled with the joy of the Lord. And God, bless in the development in the powerful, miraculous answers in prayer. And with your clothing, and I'm just going to pray this constantly, Father, clothing us with power from on high to be those witnesses and become those powerhouses that wins the hundreds. And as we pray together to see the tens of thousands, and as we trust the Lord worldwide, the millions upon tens of millions, God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Joy in the presence of the angels, even when one. May God bless you today. This is Russ, Book of Acts Training. We'll see you in the next one.